This is Jan Cox Talk number 2710, recorded July 16th, 2001.
Hello. I was thinking about something else that I had mentioned the other day, that there's all sorts of things that I can't tell anybody. And the point was, that perhaps I didn't make it that clear, was to try and highlight something that you will all discover if you haven't already. Well, all of you probably have experienced it, whether you tried to describe it or not. And that is when you begin to really, as I would call it, that you begin to understand what's going on. You can't describe it, and you don't even describe it to yourself. That's one way that you know what's going, that you're beginning to know what's going on, that you begin to see stuff. And if you know what I mean, you have, as some people used to call it, that kind of eureka moment. You just turn around and you see, you hear two people talking about a certain subject, something that's fairly common, about something that goes on between people. And you suddenly see something and you understand, whatever it is. It's about why people argue over religion. Just something that's probably something, we'll assume, it could be something that was interesting enough that you had thought about before, you had pondered it, and just out of a clear blue sky, you hear it going on, or you could be reading it, and suddenly, in a depth, in such a way there's no comparison, compared to everything you thought before, you suddenly, it's eureka. Ah! It's, ah! But when you're really getting good, when you're really beginning to understand, and I'm sure this happens way after the fact, that somewhere down the road, maybe years it takes, that you realize that what you're understanding now, you don't even stop in any way. It's not the way it used to be. That is, that you don't, thoughts in your head do not say, oh, well, I understand now that people in the Freudian sense, or in the, their unconscious, has some sort of perhaps semi-genetic xenophobia, that one region dislikes the other based upon a person's fact. It's none of that. It's just, oh, there are all sorts of things that I would not, to anybody, particularly you people, I'd hesitate even more so, that I would never mention, that people discuss, that people have been arguing about for thousands of years, and I understand it, except there's nothing to say about it. For those of you who read it, I was writing to the public today in the web news site a simple but absolutely unknown fact, just overlooked. People are just either blind to it, or life arranges it to where people do not turn their attention to it. And that is that anyone who explains to you, anyone who tells you what's going on in life about any particular subject, and, of course, any subject that is not material, that is not based upon physical evidence, not about physical things that someone tells you that a round object will roll better than a square one, or that pouring sulfuric acid in your shorts will prove to be upsetting, hurtful, painful. Anything other than that, anyone who tells you what's going on does not know what's going on. It's the proof of it, if you needed it. And yet everybody on this planet, except if there are a few people, if there was a man somewhere that knows what's going on, he would be the exception. But I'm telling you, somewhere very close to 6 billion people right now, stop any of them, ask them, can they explain, and if pick out something in life, something in the life of man, from the arts, having to do with religion, social matters, anything other than, let's say, hard science. Anything other than something having to do with the laws of physical science. Ask any of the other 6 billion people on this planet what's going on in some area, and they will tell you what's going on. You could be standing on the other side of the world, downtown Bangkok, and assuming that the tie next to you was not too loosely sewed, I couldn't resist, that spoke English, and if suddenly there was a newspaper boy hawking the daily publication and hollering about the Muslims and the Christians still slaughtering themselves on the island of Timor. And you looked at, and he was right in front of you in this tie. You've never used there. I have a clear blue sky. And you turn to him and say, how in 2001 can civilized people still be killing themselves over religion? I am astounded. Can you explain it? And if you actually, you know, it wouldn't take that much, but if you actually gave the passion behind your question and maybe touch the person and go, and you really showed that you were deeply moved by this whole thing and disturbed, you understand this stranger, a 15-year-old boy, an 80-year-old man or woman, a stranger, 6 billion strangers on this planet will tell you what's going on. And by tell you what's going on, you understand, I mean that they will explain. If you say, can you explain? Does anybody know what's going on? 6 billion people will tell you what's going on. And not a damn one of them has any idea. I just have always found it so neat, the way things work, that there is the proof. Not that I need any, but there is the proof that someone does not know what's going on, that they will explain it. And if you need further proof, which you shouldn't, but even more detailed proof of it would be that they go into additional detail. See, the proof that someone does not know what's going on is if you turn to this stranger on the other side of the world, on a street corner, and you said, how can people still be killing themselves over religion? Did you understand it? Does it make any sense to you? He would say, yeah. Now, I agree with you, it's insane, but yeah, if you're asking, yeah, I understand. If you said, does it make any sense? I mean, do you see any reason for it? The person will go, well, chances are, let's assume that they would agree with you that, yes, that it is insane. It is useless. But if you're asking, do I understand the motivations behind it and why people do it? Yeah, I understand it. Now, right there is proof that he understands nothing. But if you would like detailed evidence of how little he understands, ask him to explain it. And if he offers to, then it's just more proof that he understands nothing, if you need it. And then if he just gives you some comment like, well, there is a kind of, I would say, spiritual xenophobia, that everyone dislikes a religion that's foreign to them. And if you say, well, can you go into more detail? I'm not sure I'm still getting it. He goes, well, all right, if you got time, I will. Now, there's your proof. If you bring up detail and say, do you actually understand the fine points, the detail of why such and such occurs? And if the person says, well, no, now that you mention it, yeah, I do. Then rest assured you're standing next to a world-class certified moron, an average person. Because the truth is, when you reach a certain point, well, as I was saying the other day, it's really off and on. It's either this or that. When you really see for yourself what's going on, you know, you people are the only exception, me and that writing I do every day. But, again, I'm not the point, but I don't know who you ever thought about it. I don't ever say a serious word to any other human on the planet. Nothing. I don't have to refrain, but I have absolutely nothing to say to anyone. And the more you understand, you're going to find out you have nothing to say either. It's neither good nor bad, and you don't plan it. It's not. That is not the evidence, or that is not the proof that you understand. But what I am bringing up for is that it should give you some indication, if you need it, or some sort of hint about what's going on with life and people's individual mind. Because the point of our thinking, again, discounting, which laying aside that to me, the blatant, the obvious purpose of human thought is to make life more livable, more survivable. There just can't be any doubt about that. But beyond that point, then the question is, what is the use of thought? What do people use thought for? And most of it, it's not analyzed this way, but if you listen just to gossip, when people are just talking about, have you heard what so-and-so just did? At first, you might not see the connection, But I'm telling you that constantly. Well, over 99% of the rest of the time that humans are talking. That is, they're not talking about anything of any real essential significance. They're just talking. Then what they're talking about is they're explaining what life's about. They're telling themselves and other people what's going on. That's what gossip is. It may sound as though it's malicious or someone just that they have it in for the person they're talking about, but they're attempting. Even if they say, wait till I tell you what so-and-so did. That sorry, that crazy son of a bitch, that terrible person. He's just crazy. Wait till I tell you what he did. Now, you can discount it and say, well, it's just garbage. It's just people like to hear vicious tales about other people, blah, blah, blah. But you can also see it as this. I just picked that as one example because I assumed that at first it would strike you that that would be as far removed from anything meaningful. But if you listen, if you think about it this way, I'm telling you, all but just almost 100% of what everyone says is an attempt to explain life, an attempt to explain what is going on. And they can't do it. And what I started to say was, a minute ago, if you lost your place, where I started this sentence was that the non-essential talk, which of course is just a reflection of the thought that goes on in people, but that non-essential talk is to cover up for the fact, that is, the talk is about what's going on in life. And that's to cover up the fact that no one knows what's going on in life. And if you ever see it, I find that also delightful. It's just plain as hell to me, just one view, that the reason that people, that clearly no one knows what's going on. Trust me. I do, and therefore I can see it. Trust me. No one who says that they know what's going on, from a little bit to a lot. People with degrees, not in science, but people with degrees in theology, archaeology, sociology, psychology, all of the ologies, all the way from them to ordinary people to mystics. Anyone who tells you to any degree, yes, I'll tell you what's going on, they do not know what's going on. I don't have to hear anymore. I don't care what they say. They do not know what's going on if they will tell you what's going on. So, where this sentence started now 2 minutes ago is that I say that other than the essentials that we speak of, which is very little, so we're talking about the regular chit-chat, that which makes up almost all of human conversation, I'm telling you that all of it is an attempt for the speaker to tell what's going on in life, to explain to himself and ostensibly to other people, but to explain what's going on in life. I tell you that no one knows what's going on in life, and I'm pointing out to you that the reason, from one view, a delightful view, once you see it, is that the reason people try to tell what's going on in life is because of the fact that they don't know. People don't attempt to pass on, of course they like to say this, they're not attempting to enlighten other people, not just in a mystical sense. But back to my made-up scene, if we were standing there in Bangkok and you were there, absolute foreign circumstance, and a newsman is hauling out the headlines, Timor's Christians kill 2,000 more Timor Muslims. And you look at that paper and you listen to that and you go, my God, I can't believe it. And if this stranger staying there, even without asking him, let's change a little bit, they might say, I couldn't help but overhear you. It's not all that strange, once you think about it. That's all you have to hear. If he wanted to strike up a conversation, not argumentative, if it just apparently he was friendly, and he says, by the way, you're not from here, are you? You don't look like a Thai. And you go, no, I'm American or whatever. And he says, well, this kind of religious tension has been going on here for a long time. And I'll be glad if you'd like to have a cup of coffee, I'll explain it to you. I'll enlighten you. That's very common. As you know, that people say, well, let me tell you something. You'll be arguing. You'll be fussing about the way somebody's treated you or something. And maybe a friend. Maybe somebody. And I say, well, wait a minute. Let me. I don't think you've thought this through. Let me tell you what's going on. In other words, they're saying, in essence, let me help you. Let me enlighten you. It's obvious that you do not have the right mental fix on this. So, you know, it's a friend. Sit down. Let me explain this to you. It's insanity. Well, I want you to see it. I don't have to put a name on it. That you're troubled over something. It's in an area that the human mind, that thought, made up. And it troubled you that this doesn't make any sense. I do not understand this. And another human says, well, I'll explain it to you. That's humor that's so good that you can't laugh at it. You can smile, but you can't really laugh. You mean you'll explain this to me? Yes. I'll do my best. But you understand it. Oh, yeah. Enough to explain it. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure you'll understand me, whether you can follow it, but yeah, I understand what's going on, but enough to explain it. Oh, yeah. He doesn't understand anything. There's nothing to explain. If anyone offers to explain it or says, yes, I can explain it, then they're just as lost as anyone else. They are truly, back to the old mystical, the classical definition, they are truly living in a dream. Physically, they're not. You can't live in a dream physically. And people do not. If you live in a dream physically, they'll lock you up, or you'll hurt yourself to such a degree that they'll have to put you in a hospital. Physically, people do not live in a dream. But their thoughts are living in a dream world. Because if you're thinking about what ordinary people are thinking about, you've got no choice. It's not a matter of, well, I'll quit thinking in a dream. In the ordinary sense, it's not possible. It would be such as, well, I'm sure I don't have the correct attitude toward religion, let's say. And I'll bet you, now that I've read about it and I've worked on it, it's just obvious that my false personality, my own, this kind of illusionary self that I've picked up somewhere in life, I can tell it has certain aggressive ideas toward religion in general, and particularly about certain religions in which that are foreign to me. At any rate, it bothers me, and I need to work on it. I think I'm seeing it a little clearer. I'm trying. It's a dream. But it's not a dream that they say, well, the dream is I'm living in a negative daydream that is based upon my unfounded aggressive feelings toward foreign religions. I know it's not good for me, and I know that it's erroneous, because I know that everybody's religion, that theirs is just as good as mine, blah, 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 blah. And so I understand. I'm speaking, you understand, now for another person. They would say, I like very much, I approve highly of the mystical terminology of dream, because this is obviously some sort of nightmare. It is a dream because in reality I have no reason to attack another person's religion. No one does. It's just, it's ill-founded, and it's some sort of mistaken impression that we pick up in life, and probably due to our parents or the conditions of society, who knows what. But obviously, my hostile attitude toward foreign religions, that is a prime example of me living in a dream. No, it's not. What you just said is the example of you living in a dream, which is what I put on your Friday for those of you that caught it. That being asleep is not a state. Being asleep is being unaware that man's in a state. Being hostile, I just picked out hostile, I was trying to highlight what I was getting at. Any feelings, any thoughts, you may call them feelings, but any thoughts that have a prejudice to them, which is what people call feeling, that you have about religion, let's say, or about politics, about Republicans, or Green Party, or Democrats, any feeling you have that's based on thought, that you have thought about something that is not part of the physical sciences. So I guess we're safe, right? You're with me? No offense to any of you, but I just get the impression that not a lot of you think during the day about the laws of motion and kinetic energy or run the periodic table through your head, trying to, dividing. Let's say I'll put the acid before the alkaloids. I'll put them upside down. And I mean, no offense, maybe you do. But just knowing the human mind, I got a feeling that most of your thoughts are somewhat less scientific, if I may say so. So, here we are. The rest of the thoughts. And here's what will easily throw you. I know this. Is you'll believe that you're actually involved with efforts to awaken using a certain area. Let's say that pick out that you're very hostile toward religion. It could be something else. Art. You could just be angry as hell about the kind of music that's out today. Or about anything. As long as it's not the sciences. If you're mad at chemistry, I don't know what to tell you. Well, I do know what to tell you, but I don't want to frighten you. All right, it's turn yourself in. Seek help. But at any rate, here's the point. I was using aggressive, aggressive attitude toward religion. If you have any feeling, again, you understand I'm saying thought. When I say feeling, but it's a thought, and that you can believe, you'll be thinking, well, I am working on myself. But you're doing it on the basis of some thoughts you have about some area that does not exist in the physical world. Then it doesn't matter what you're thinking, you're asleep. If you are taking the thoughts that you have about religion, about art, about social matters, what am I leaving out? Politics. You got to understand by now. When you stop and think about it for a second, I know damn well you know what I mean. If it is not something that exists, it was laying here on the planet when cavemen started stumbling around and pointing to stuff and going, ugh. If it doesn't fit that qualification, then whatever you're thinking about it is, it's a dream thought. In other words, if you believe that you are using religion as an example to help awaken yourself, that you're trying to work out certain feelings, certain ideas that you've had about religion or politics, that's the dream. So you're still a step away if you say, well, my feelings about religion, I'm so hostile about religion or about politics, or I am so hostile about that is a primary example. That's the best example in my private, in my secret mental life. That's the best example that I have, that I've got to work on that, because I surely am living in a dream when it comes to me thinking about religion. Wrong! Well, it's true, but you're still a step away. You could spend a lifetime doing that. I'm trying to save you from wasting your time. There is nothing for you to figure out about religion. It doesn't exist. What's to figure out? What's to figure out about politics? But see, what throws you, you go, wait a minute. You don't know my strong feelings about politics. Hello? You point out to somebody, you say, politics does not exist. There is no such thing as politics. We're not talking about a tyrant with a sword at your throat. That's something else. There's no such thing as politics. There's no such thing as religion. There's no such thing as psychology. There's no such thing as history. But let's say there's no such thing as politics. And I'm talking to an ordinary person, which all of us have an ordinary person in your brain. Don't look now! And so let's say I'm talking to an ordinary person, and I say, wait a minute. You got to face this fact. There is no such thing as politics. You say you're trying to awaken, and you say that you have always had a real inner turmoil about politics. You've had such passionate beliefs one way or the other, and you're just sure it's part of a dream world. And you go, yes. And I go, well, you got to admit this. You do realize politics does not exist. And you go, well, yeah, it's a... And I go, no, you can't touch politics. Politics does not exist in the same way that a rock exists. And a person can go, well, okay. And I go, let's just establish that. I'm just saying that politics does not... there is no such physical thing as politics, no matter how you cut it. And the person goes, okay. You're right, if you put it that way. And I go, well, so forget it. And they go, well, no. You don't know how passionately I feel about it, though. Hello? You see, even you are prone to sit there and miss it. As though, well, even though it doesn't exist, that's not the point. Is what the mind is saying is, I feel so passionate about it. Knock, knock. Of course, I'm being funny because the rest of the world wouldn't find it funny. They go, knock, knock, hell. What the hell you mean? Well, yeah, I can't touch politics, but you don't know how strongly I feel about it. Of course, to go from that back to religion. You say, well, religion doesn't exist. It's just thoughts. And the person goes, all right, if you're going to put it that way, yeah, they're thoughts. It's not physical. And I go, so? You know, in other words, end of subject, right? And they go, no. You do not know how passionate I feel, how deeply I think and feel about religion. And they just got through. That's what no one sees. That's what I say, no one. The brain, the thoughts that the brain puts out, just will not see it. I don't even like saying will not. I don't like saying anything. Cannot. I don't like that either. Well, I thought I'd try. Well, how about this? If you get someone's brains, someone's thoughts to say, all right, religion doesn't exist. They go, yeah, you're right. And I go, and then what you just said afterwards, though, you follow that up by defending yourself that, it be that as it may, you point out how passionate you felt about it. And the person goes, yeah. And I go, well, don't you see that that's just as crazy? I mean, what does it prove to say you're passionate when you just got to admitting that you realize it doesn't exist? So you being passionate about it, you know, what kind of fuck is that? Are you crazy? You that's your reason? That, well, yeah, it doesn't exist, but goddamn, you don't know how passionate I am about it. I say that their thoughts would... What are we going to say? I'll leave it to you. A person's thoughts would have to go, well, you're right. Except, will they? No. Can they? Well, see, I know for one thing, it's possible. I know that one human on this planet for sure has done it. I know that much. So I'm hard-pressed to say that people's thoughts can't do it. The obvious to me... The only place, this is not really, I've never found it worthwhile. I mean, it's not very useful, but it's just pondering why won't people see it? Why, even if they'll listen to you a minute and you run this along, and they'll get right to the point, as I just said, that you can get somebody to admit that, yeah, religion doesn't exist, you're going to put it that way. It's something that's in our mind, if I could get them that far instead of in our soul. But if they go, all right, it's in my mind, it doesn't exist, and I say, then, but your follow-up, as soon as you admitted that, you said, yes, but I am very religious. That is, I am very passionate about it. And now I said, well, how can you be passionate? What kind of excuse or what kind of, you know, how can you be that crazy? Are you insane to then follow up and say, yes, I see that religion does not exist. It's not a thing that actually exists in the material or the real world. But, God, it's so important to me. And I say, how can you do that? How can you admit that you understand that religion does not exist, or politics does not exist? It's just something that men made up and they talk about. Their thoughts made it up. And you admitted that, and then a split second later, your defense was, or your follow-up, you couldn't let it go, your thoughts went, yeah. But goddamn politics is so important. They're so interesting to me. It's so significant, that or religion. And I say, how can you do that? How can you say in 1 second that you realize it doesn't exist, but then immediately... You won't let it go. You have to make sure that I or the rest of the people know, yes. But religion is at the heart of my life. What's going on? And that's what I was getting at was not of any great importance, as I know, but as I see it, but that it could be the closest to a reasonable verbal response is that their thoughts can see it. Well, let's assume they can. I don't know how they can, but they see it, and it's like, what am I going to do with this? In fact, I'd say that their thoughts look at it and realize, all right, if I let this go any further, I agreed with him that politics or religion doesn't exist, but if I go past this point, now he's asked me why I point out how passionate I am and how much religion means to me, and now he's pushed me to this point of pointing out how insane that is for me to be passionate about something that I admitted I realize just exists in my head. So he's took me this far. But if I go ahead and say, well, you're right about that too, it's not going, not only will it be of no benefit to the person, to their thoughts, I say they're on the verge, if not over the line, of it being a negative benefit. That is, if I admit this, not only will I not gain by it, I'm going to lose, and I'm not sure what. But it is not to my advantage. This is going to do me no good for me to realize. Of course, here it gets interesting. Well, you already realize it. The thoughts already realize what I'm pointing out. But it's as though the thoughts, well, I'm not going to say it. We will not even say it in the privacy of our own brain. Because to do so is not going to be beneficial. In fact, it will be negative. And even it can't say how. It just knows this is not going to do me good. This will do me ill. Whatever it is, politics, religion, sports, art, is very important in my life. They don't analyze it. The thoughts do not analyze it. But they simply can't do it. And I can say if that's the cutoff line between realizing what's going on. And I don't think that anybody can change themselves. The people, I've seen people get close. I've seen people, I used to put it this way, just to be crude way, and some of you, well, all of you have known some of them, that people were on the way, it would appear, to waking up. And it was like something finally spooked them. I'm sure many of them blamed it on me. But it was like suddenly they thought, oh, no, no, this is not matter. And their thoughts had some excuse. It wasn't the excuse, but it was just what I'm saying, that some people, you're either born and can tolerate it or you can't. It seems as though people even get a whiff, finally, what this is about. And they just go, no. As though it's something dastardly. And, oh, boy, I had no idea it was this spooky. The whole point is, it's unspooky. It's, oh, no, no, no. They suddenly feel like Fred Astaire singing, you can't take that away from me. Except it's thoughts realizing there is no me and I don't have anything. And damn, you're not going to take just that little bit away from me. I say some of you get it. Yeah, I don't have anything, but damn, you're not going to take even that away from me. That's what waking up's about, I'm sorry. Well, shit, never mind that. Well, I don't blame you.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks or just leave us a message.